Good evening. Let's call this meeting to order. It's Tuesday, November 8, 2011. Meeting of the Champaign County Board, Committee of the Whole for Justice, Finance, Policy. The time is 6:05. Please set your telephones to off or vibrate. Roll call, please.
Alex.
Here.
Ammons. Anderson.
Here.
Binzel.
Here.
Berkson.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Thort.
Here.
Esri.
Here.
Holderfield.
Here.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kirks. Langenheim.
Here.
Maxwell.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier.
Here.
Muto.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards.
Here.
Rosales.
Here.
Schrader.
Here.
White.
Here. We have a quorum. Mr. Kirks and Ms. Ammons indicated to me that they would not be able to make the meeting tonight. Seek approval of the minutes for the Committee of the Whole for October 11, 2011, and the County Administrator's Salary Negotiation Committee minutes for October 17, 2011.
So moved.
Moved by
second.
Mr. Jay, and second by Mr. Rosales. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. Seek approval of the agenda and the addendum.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. James, second by Mr. Carter. We're going to pull items 9E1 and 9D4. Primarily because the champions of both of those are not here tonight. 9E1 and 9D4. That's the Clinton landfill and the restructuring. One of them was on the addendum. Anything else? Any discussion on those? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. Mr. Steve Burgess.
Good evening. I am here to speak to the policy committee this evening.
Pull the mic up. It's hard to hear back here.
That better?
Thank you.
I'm here to speak to the policy committee tonight regarding a proposed resolution in support of renaming the federal courthouse here in Urbana after my late father, James R. Burgess, Jr. Some of you may know that my father was a state's attorney here in Champaign County from 1972 to 1976, and then became a U.S. attorney and was in the Eastern District of Illinois, later designated the Southern District of Illinois. My father came from humble beginnings on a rural farm in Tennessee. He was one of eight children. A lot of things, my dad's been gone 15 years now, and a lot of things I didn't know when I was growing up about my dad's military experience. He was a veteran of 20 years. After he retired, after 20 years as a major, he went to law school here at the University of Illinois. Although he wasn't a lifelong resident of Champaign County, he was made this his home for upwards of 30 years. My dad was a quiet hero, a pioneer who didn't call attention to himself. During World War II, he fought with distinction in the 761st Tank Battalion of the United States Army. It was the first tank battalion committed to battle, comprised of black soldiers, which was stated in the Presidential Unit Citation for extraordinary heroism. And was awarded by President Carter in 1978. My dad remained in the military until 1962, serving as a special agent in the Counterintelligence Corps, achieving the rank of major. My dad faced formidable challenges throughout his whole life. He quietly and resolutely overcame them. He broke barriers of discrimination and segregation by his accomplishments, of goals African Americans were discouraged from even attempting to achieve. In doing so, he embodied the best and most universal aspect of the American spirit, the determination to be a free and equal individual, accepting no arbitrary limitations imposed by society. And I'm asking for the federal courthouse which is actually takes an act of Congress to do, to be named in his honor. And I think it'd be a fitting memorial to all that he achieved during his lifetime and an inspiration for all Americans. I also like to point out that during my dad's time here in this community, he served in numerous civic organizations, Don Moyers Boys Club, Francis Nelson Health Center. He instituted new legal initiatives whilst he was the state's attorney, the Adult Diversion Program, which I do believe still exists to this day. He started the law school interns to the state's attorney's office and adult legal education. Also, whilst he was here, he had an able-bodied staff, assembled a team of professionals, some of whom is Judge DeFantis, who is now the chief judge of the county court here, Judge Steigman, who's on the appellate court, and even Deb Busey, the county administrator. So I basically what I'm asking of the county to do is to give me a bigger voice. I've already spoken to Senator Durbin, Senators Kirk, and Representative Johnson. And everybody is deferring to Senator Durbin as far as whether he's going to introduce a bill in this matter or not. Thank you.
Mr. Clinton Popeps.
I'll be really brief. I just became aware of Steve's story about his father. I found it very compelling and very inspiring, and enough to brave the rain and come out and lend my single tiny voice in support of the resolution. So I hope that you'll vote for it. Thank you.
Is there any other public participation? Did you fill out a form?
No.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and come up here, speak, and then fill out the form and give it to me afterwards.
I'd like to
go ahead.
Speak in favor of Steve's resolution, too. That's it.
Could you fill out, state your name, please, and where you're from?
Charles Leach, Urbana.
Okay. Could you fill out a form, please, there in the corner?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other public participation? All right, we'll close that. Going on to communications from the board. I have one. The MLK nominations are due this Thursday, November 10th, in the Community Relations Office of the City of Champaign. Any other communications from the board? All right. Justice Social Services. Mr. Richards.
Good evening. We've got a light agenda this month for the Justice and Social Services concentration. I'll entertain a motion singly or omnibus to place these reports on file. Moved by Coard, seconded by Carter. Is that for A1 animal control or for all of them? Omnibus motion from Coard. Okay. I do want to note that emergency EMA report, you probably clicked on it today or the last few days and you got a dead link, but it was on there. There was a typo on the link. The report's actually there, and I have a copy of it that I will pass around afterwards. There were a few state and federally mandated exercises that they did, but nothing really out of the ordinary this month. Do you know if that link's been fixed? So, but the county's aware of it, and if you're looking for that online, the link will be fixed if it hasn't already, so you can read the EMA report. As far as animal control, we had 109 dogs impounded, 71 cats impounded, and unfortunately we had to euthanize 37 dogs and 20 cats. The JDC census was on the low side this month, ranging from 9 up to the highest was we had one day of 19. Any questions on any of these reports? All in favor of placing these reports on file?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion passes. Is there any other business? Okay. For the chair's report, I did want to take a minute to talk about the Citizens Advisory Commission for jury selection. We haven't talked about that in a couple months, and there's some new things that they've been doing. First, wanted to make sure everybody knows that Judge DeFantis and Aaron Ammons are going to be at a brown bag luncheon at the Urbana City Building, 11:30 on Thursday, with the League of Women Voters, essentially doing an annual report briefing the League of Women Voters on the progress that the committee's made in the last year in making juries more representative and getting more participation in juries. The commission largely came out of a report that had been done annually for court watchers for the League of Women Voters. So this is an issue that they've been attuned to for several years. Once again, that's going to be 11:30, the City Council Chambers for Urbana on Thursday, round bag lunch. I don't think that we've gone over the fact that the legislation that the committee pushed, a couple of Champaign County representatives, Representative Jacobson and Senator Ferrix, to sponsor HB 2066, was signed by the governor. And that's going to add names of people filing for unemployment lists to the jury pools to help to create a wider base for them to solicit people from. And currently, the project that the commission is working on is they are working with WBCP to potentially, it hasn't been passed and no deal's been signed, but potentially do a first Saturday of the month programming on WBCP about these issues, bringing on guests. WBCP has already been pretty good about having Aaron Ammons and Judge DeFantis, and I believe Randy Rosenbaum's also been on there talking about these issues. But to have an once a month show talking about these issues on WBCP to reach out to one of the communities that has been traditionally underserved on Champaign County juries. Thank you, everybody. That is it from Justice and Social Services.
Good evening. First on finance is from the RPC to request for approval of an ordinance authorizing the execution and delivery of an intergovernmental cooperation agreement for the Assist 2011 Homebuyer Assistance Program. Is there a motion for approval by Geraldo, seconded by Tom? Is there a discussion? Michael?
Let me just re-ask the question I asked in caucus. I see what this is, but more broadly, is this something that we just need to approve for RPC, or are we going to be tied in financially with this in subsequent meetings?
This is an ongoing program. The county board has approved this program in the past, I think, 3 or 4 years, and this is an annual renewal. And the county is not going to put money directly into this program. It's basically more like one of the grants that is administered by the RPC.
Any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Amendments and transfers. The first transfer is 11000144 for $5,350 to cover remaining fiscal year invoices out of public properties. Is there a motion for approval? By Steve Mosier, seconded by Chris. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Number two, a transfer 11000015. Board of Review 5827 is the amount of the transfer to transfer money to the Board of Review budget to pay out benefits as of 11/30/11. Motion for approval by Stan, seconded by?
Second.
Ralph? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Number three is a transfer, 1100016, for $7,000 to move money to the per diem line item out of General County. Is there a motion for approval by John, seconded by Stephanie? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. This one's an amendment, 1100057 for $9,083. This is out of the insurance for reattaching the spire of the courthouse. Is there a motion for approval by John J., seconded by Stan? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. And number five is a transfer, 1100017, for $14,400 to reimburse RPC for personnel hired for the 2011 traffic courts. Counts.
Counts.
Motion for approval by Stephanie. Is there a second? By Pius. Discussion. Patsy.
Could somebody explain to me the purpose of these counts and how they're used?
Pius.
For planning of future improvements to the roadway system.
Any other questions? Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. C, nursing home. First is the approval of the issuance of tax anticipation warrants for the Champaign County Nursing Home. Is there a motion for approval by Tom? Seconded by Michael. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Number two is approval of the issuance of revenue to the Champaign County Nursing Home. Is there a motion for approval? By Ralph, seconded by Astrid. Discussion.
If I could just point out a correction to the agenda on that.
Please.
It should say the approval of issuance of revenue anticipation warrants for the Champaign County Nursing Home.
Other question, Pius.
Yeah, this is something new. Perhaps you can tell us what you know about it.
Right. This is something that is allowed for in the county's code and the statutes, but is not done at all, it would seem, according to our bond counsel, Kurt Froelich. But to assist the nursing home with the current delays in payments from the state, if the nursing home can provide documentation indicating that it is owed money and anticipation of when that money will be provided to the nursing home has the ability to issue these revenue anticipation notes and then repay as those funds come in that are delayed. We're aware that our nursing home and one other in the state right now is looking at this because of the severe cash shortfalls that they're experiencing because of the state not reimbursing on a timely basis. So Kurt Froelich has been working with Management Performance Associates, and what we currently anticipate is that we have today information for 3 months' worth of receipts, which is about $765,000. We can issue these revenue anticipation notes against 85% of that. And what we would anticipate is that we would do this this month in November, and then until the state catches back up or our cash position improves, that we would be issuing these warrants or these notes quarterly for the next year at least.
Questions, Stan?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the state have to give a guarantee that that money would be forthcoming before we could issue those bonds?
Yes, and we have that. That's why we only have 3 months' worth. They owe us more than that, but they have provided documentation that Kurt Froelich finds to be acceptable to be able to move forward with these documents.
And I know we've already voted on the other issue, but basically we're extending out quite a bit on anticipation of monies that may or may not come in. I know based on history they're going to, and on this, I know we're going to base it on the state, so they'd have to sign off before we could issue those bonds. But I just have a hard time dealing with, you know, we keep extending. There has to be a time frame that we say, what's the other option? And I haven't heard much of that discussion for a while.
You have Patsy, then Pius.
I asked this question in caucus and suggested you could answer it for me.
in these revenue warrants is the amount that we will be borrowing equal to less than, more than what we anticipate getting from the state?
It's 85% of what we expect to receive, what we will have documented that the state has said we will receive.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought that was we could only borrow up to 85%. Okay, I got it.
Pius?
I suppose to answer Mr. James' question, if he wants to offer a substitute motion to have the money taken out of our general fund to get cash flow to the nursing home, he could do that. It is an alternative, although I don't think I would support it.
Why didn't offer? Thank you.
Other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries. Next up, County Administrator Deb.
The first item is the General Corporate Fund Revenue Expenditure Projection Report, which is at your desks this evening, and it looks substantially the same as it has looked. We're looking to receive revenue at about 101% of budget with, continuing solid performance in our sales taxes, which is good news. We are still seeing general government, which is effectively our fees revenue, not coming in where we had anticipated that they would for this year. We have adjusted for that in next year's budget. On the expenditure side, it looks like we'll spend 98% of the budget at this point in time, and we are going into the last month of the fiscal year, so hopefully this is fairly accurate, which leaves us at the end of the year with a projected ending revenue positive $671,000, putting the actual fund balance at 11.6% of the 2011 budget. If you subtract out the outstanding nursing home loan, we end at 10.3% of the fiscal 2011 budget. And the next page shows the budget change report since the beginning of the fiscal year. For your information.
Questions on either of those reports? Quiz.
Remind me, Deb, what's our target fund balance percentage?
Our stated target is 12.5%. Bond count or rating agencies believe 10% is a good solid fund balance. So.
And we have not been anywhere close to that the last few years.
Not even close to 10, no, that's right.
Any other questions before she continues?
Yeah, there is a Harrison Harris report in your in the handouts from this evening as well. And you'll see that year to date for the county funds, and this is all funds, not just general corporate, the county has seen the benefit of $247,874 in those collections.
Any other questions or a motion to accept all three and place them on file?
So moved.
By Brad, seconded by Quiz. Any other questions before a vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, a resolution authorizing renewal of a loan from General Corp to the nursing home.
And this is the outstanding loan that you see on the budget report every month, the $333,142. If you will recall, earlier this year, the nursing home board had adopted a resolution indicating that it would work on the repayment of this loan. But because of the cash flow issues that they have experienced since summer, none of it has been repaid. This loan has to be renewed on an annual basis. You can't extend a loan for more than 12 months. So just as we have done since the first year this loan was granted in 2008, we're asking for this loan to be renewed for 2012.
Motion to do so by Ron, seconded by Tom. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number five, the annual budget and appropriation ordinance.
Move adoption.
Motion by Tom, second by Ralph. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries, and that will not be on consent, though. Item number six is the annual tax levy ordinance.
Move adoption.
Motion by Tom to move adoption, seconded by Ralph. Discussion. Alan.
Good question for Deb. I assume that the salaries for the board review reflects the change in the paid time off thing that we talked about. Is that reflected in there, or how does that?
The budget?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so yes. You had to do it this budget to reflect the fiscal year.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. And item number 7 is approval of recommendation to the county board for amendment to the schedule of authorized positions. Is there a motion for approval? By Stephanie. Is there a second? By Ron. Discussion. Chris.
Just one question for Deb. Your memo, I think, makes that persuasive case why the IT function is probably more useful than the buyer function, but presumably the centralized purchasing was instituted in the first place based on the assumption that the county could save money by combining purchases from multiple departments. In what way is that no longer the case?
Well, I think it began to change with technology. There are fewer items that are purchased for general county stock than there were when it was started probably 30 years ago. It's easier for departments to purchase those kinds of items independent of going through general county stock. Most office supply retailers are more than happy to establish an account and you order it today and they deliver it tomorrow, whereas maintaining a general county stock that meets the needs of all the diverse operations of county government. We have frequently had to, you know, absorb items that were purchased because it appeared the departments were going to use them. And then, again, especially with technology, a lot of those types of supplies are no longer used. So we found that general county stock is really just very, very basic these days, and I don't think that we are generating great savings by buying in bulk in doing that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on this issue? Diane, then Patsy.
Just real quickly, I understand the not buying in bulk because sometimes it gets outdated before you get to it. Mm-hmm. But are there places that or vendors that you use as a group maybe giving us a group discount when we order from there?
Well, it's certainly something that we can look at. We have had vendors approach us, and if we're going to take that approach, I think the first thing we would have to do is assess or survey our departments and determine how much they're willing to limit themselves to a single vendor and how much do we have that is so commonly purchased by all departments, and we just haven't done that. But if we were going to do that, then I would say we would also probably want to do an RFP to ensure that we were generating the best pricing that we could. Pricing is fairly competitive, though, in office supplies at this point in time.
Patsy?
Yes, I have a question on page 62. The amount of money that you are recommending be transferred is greater than the amount that you list for that particular position. Does that indicate to us that you want to have some room to negotiate on that salary?
Yes, I'm just asking to transfer the fully budgeted amount from the administrative services budget to the IT budget for them to use to fill that position at the best use capacity that we can do.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Anything else, Dave? Thank you. Animal control. Approval of intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Ogden for animal control services. Is there a motion for approval by Ron? Is there a second by Pius? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. You've got the auditor's monthly report and purchases not following. Tony's here. Are there any questions or a motion to put that report on file by James?
I'll make that motion if we can discuss after it's been.
You got it. Motion by Quiz and seconded by Pius. Quiz.
Okay. I'd like to know more about buying a van outside of purchasing policy. What happened there?
Could
I'm hoping it falls under emergency.
Oh, okay. The county clerk is an elected official and therefore not subject to the purchasing policy. And the statutory limit for purchase without bid is $30,000. And so he exercised his right to make a purchase without doing bids because it was $22,345.
Okay, so if he's not subject to the policy, why would he be listed as violating the policy?
The auditor that.
Well, the county board policy, at least up until this point in the meeting, is $20,000 and over has to be bid. This is just for your information. The money's already been spent, but this is letting you know that the county board's purchasing policy hasn't been followed in these instances. You know, on this agenda tonight, I believe, is raising that threshold. So, you know, this could either be seen as a not following policy or as a sign that the policy you're considering changing needs to be changed.
Anything else? Chris?
We at least have some assurance that this was a competitive purchase.
We asked the county clerk about doing bids or going through the GSA contracting system, and the clerk said that he had been checking with GSA and that the deal he found was better that for their needs than anything he found on government contract. So,
sadly, I'm not surprised.
Any other questions?
And I will just add that the clerk did ask about whether or not he needed to be here tonight. You don't actually approve this tonight. You do it at the county board meeting. He will be at the county board meeting. If you have additional questions, he'll be there to answer them.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. And the motion is on the report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up, Treasurer. Dan, do you have some good news?
Okay. Sorry. You surprised me there. I was only going to mention a couple of things. A few details about the tax anticipation warrants for the nursing home. It's the fourth year we've done those, and they're allowed to send out these warrants on 85% of their operating budget, which is a little over $1 million. So the bid this year was on about $878,000. And when we sent out 26 bid documents and got 5 responses, and the winning bid was 1.12% from Commerce Bank. They had it the first year, and they Midland States Bank had it the last 2 years, so returned back to Commerce Bank. Their 1.12 allowed for prepayment, which I like because we try to prepay these loans as the real estate money starts coming in May. And so we split them into 2 different warrant issues. Half the 878 will be due July 15th, half due September 28th. And that's worked well for us for the last 4 years. It helps with a little cash flow. They're different from revenue anticipation notes, and I'll be first to tell you I can't find anybody that's ever done a revenue anticipation note, but apparently I'm going to do one here pretty quick. So we'll be doing the same process. We'll be bidding it out to 26 banks and looking for a response. I'll be real interested to see how they approach it. When I've talked to the folks from the nursing home, I've encouraged them to provide along with the bid document itself maybe a letter explaining it in plain English about how they're going to arrive at this $765,000 per quarter and how we're going to do it. It'll be news to me as well. But we've worked on it quite a bit, and I think it's actually, I'm kind of surprised to tell you the truth, that they've qualified for an RAN. It seemed like to me that the hurdle was very high for them to get the assurance from the state that they owed it and that they were going to pay it back. But apparently our bond council believes that that's happened, and that's really good news, I think. Finally, a word about real estate collections. That ended on October 28th with the annual tax sale. We had 1,163 parcels of unpaid real estate taxes that went to the sale for about $2.8 million. The average bid weighted average is 2.95, could have been as high as 18%. If you looked at Madison County, which had some situation where they had tax buyers that were also giving campaign contributions to the treasurer, their average rate was 18%. So 2.95 does protect the taxpayers quite a bit. Last year we had 1,032 parcels that went to the tax sale. So pretty much close to where we were. And we end the year with a 99.87% collection percentage. I think over the last 14 years, we have a 99.66 average for all those years. So the tax districts are getting all the almost the entire amount of money that they have levied. This particular, for 99.87, that means about $380,000 that was not collected. $260,000 of that's bankruptcy. You and I will deal where that is. I'd ask that my report, by the way, I didn't print it out. I was going to, but I missed the deadline by a day, apparently, and I just couldn't bring myself to print 300 pages. So it's on my website, as is every month for the last several years. And unless somebody has a real objection to that, I think I'll just direct you to my website every year rather than just wasting a bunch of paper. But I'd ask that it be accepted and placed on file, please.
Motion but to do so by Stephanie, second by Patsy. That's a good call. You're actually, concerned about saving money. That's
I'm all green.
Appreciate that. Very good. Anything else for Dan? Patsy?
Since you've done these tax anticipation warrants for, three or four years?
4 years, yes.
Do you carry at all in your memory what it has cost the nursing home in interest monies?
Yeah, I can tell you. I can tell you last year. Yeah, last year it was 1.2%. And they paid about $6,500 in interest.
Anything else for Dan? All right, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up under other business. You guys ready? Under other business. Approval of amendment to county administrator contract. Is there a motion for approval? By Tom, second by Brad. Discussion. There is a new version at your desks tonight. And that's the version that Tom has moved and Brad has seconded. Questions, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. There is no chair's report. Items for consent, A1, B, all of the items, 1 through 5. D, 6 and 7. E1. That's it. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. 6, D6 has to go on the regular agenda.
Good evening from policy. I'm going to ask for your forbearance tonight because I am a walking indication that you should get your flu shot early. I've had the flu last couple of days, so I'm a little slower on the uptake than I normally am.
Could I request, I talked to Pius about this, could we move...
Use your mic.
Could we move D to... I'm sorry, does the gentleman have a second?
Okay, unless anybody has a reason not to.
I'll move approval of D2.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right, first thing we will address then is the... I was just going to get there. I'm not that slow on the uptake. First thing we're going to talk about is item D2 on the agenda, which is the resolution in support of naming the U.S. Courthouse in Urbana in honor of James R. Burgess, Jr., and I entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Stan, seconded by Geraldo. Discussion. Mr. Alex.
I'd like to speak to this as Mr. Quisenberry and I helped to put this together. When I first became aware of Mr. Burgess's record and this potential interest in naming this the federal U.S. courthouse after him, I did a little research, and this was one of these situations where the more that I read about this guy, the more I realized, what have I done with my life? This is a man who has an amazing record. I mean, he's a war hero. He's a career soldier. As his son pointed out, graduated of the University of Illinois College of Law,
trailblazer in terms of holding positions in the state's attorney's office as a U.S. attorney, truly a pillar of the community. I also went and looked at what other federal courthouses and federal buildings in the state of Illinois are named after, and not surprisingly, they are generally named after former politicians. And I asked the board if we're looking for someone who we can hold up as an example of what we would hope future generations of Champaign County citizens can aspire to. Do we want it to be a retired congressman or senator, or do we want it to be somebody who I think truly embodies the values that we all stand for? So I wholeheartedly encourage the board to pass this resolution, which will then go to our senators and our United States congressmen, urging them to rename this this building. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom.
With all due respect, Mr. Alex, I knew Jim Burgess. He was a consummate politician, quite frankly. A very good state's attorney, but he was a brilliant politician. But we're all politicians in this room. I don't have an objection to the building being named after Mr. Burgess. I wouldn't object to a number of things being named for him. He's a fine person. I enjoyed him as a human being. I spent time with him at Democratic gatherings. I was a committeeman and the west part of Champaign for some years and used to visit him and have lunch with him. So I got to know him, had a lot of respect for him. My problem isn't with Mr. Burgess. My problem is with the process. What I hate naming buildings after people to begin with, I think they all belong to taxpayers. And I got along with it before. I've always been bothered by the way the Champaign Park District names buildings after sitting members of the Park District Board. And boards seem to do this. I think it's very objectionable. My old dear friend Joan Severance, former mayor of Champaign, we used to talk about this because it irritated her as well. And she said, no one should have anything named after them until they've been dead at least 75 years. I don't know that go quite that far, but I think she made a point. I think the buildings belong to taxpayers, but more importantly, I think there needs to be a legitimate process in terms of Dick Durbin, who happens to be the current senior senator, making these decisions. You know, we used to just pick federal judges, and some districts still do, by whoever made the biggest campaign contribution got the anointment. The senior senator would recommend that person to the president, and that's who got the appointment. Durbin and other senators have set up panels for people who are interested in applying for these positions or have been recommended to these positions. They are screened by panels of other judges, of members of the bar, of citizens, to evaluate credentials before they make recommendations regarding judgeships. I think that's a good practice. I would like to see if we're going to name federal buildings that belong to all the people, if we're going to name them after individuals, I would like to see some process developed in which the senators from a given state, in this case Illinois, have panels and people make recommendations. If you're going to name a building, who should be recommended to for that? What are the criteria? Is the criteria that you were a state's attorney, a congressperson, a dead senator, what have you? We don't seem to have actual criteria, which is, you know, Burgess is very, very worthy. I can think of people in this community and in the larger community, because this district is much bigger than Champaign County, who are founders of this community, Judge Cunningham, Judge Weber, folks like this that definitely have strong connections. I don't even believe, and I could be wrong in this, that there's a federal courthouse in the state of Illinois. I don't think there's one actually named for Abraham Lincoln. There may be one for Abraham Lincoln Marowitz, but I don't think there is one for our own Abraham Lincoln, not that I'm suggesting that. But that's the problem, is every one of, there's lots of different people of merit. Jim Burgess is definitely a person of merit, which is why it bothers me greatly to vote against this, because I think there needs to be a process, and that's what's bothering me. I adored this man. and it's very hard for me to vote against this resolution, but I'm going to.
Right, Brendan.
We're not the ones actually making the name change. I think Senator Durbin's the one who probably is in the catbird seat on that one. We're just making a recommendation here, are we not?
That's my understanding.
Well, you know, this is, others can do the same thing. Tom, good luck getting the federal government to do all of what you just suggest. I mean, it sounds good, but talk about impossible to make happen. So a good recommendation's come up. I'm going to support it.
Jan.
Brendan took my words. I feel if Tom wants to suggest to Senator Durbin that there be a process, he could do that. But I think this is someone that we recognize in this room, all of the things that have been said about him. I also knew Mr. Burgess as a member of my church, and in his humble way, he was also very effective there in working with people and bringing about changes for justice. So I intend to support this.
Sorry. Diane.
I agree with Mr. Betts. It's kind of important when you name a whole building after somebody, and not that the man isn't deserving of having recognition. I just think that there is a process, you know, that we should go through. And, you know, I don't know that maybe there aren't some other individuals that also deserve and nomination also. So, like I said, not that he isn't deserving of being recognized. I agree with Mr. Betts. The federal building is a big place to put a name on for the rest of its term.
Patsy?
I just want to say I concur with Mr. Betts, and I can't support this because of the lack of process.
Stan?
Well, I'm going to have to back Brendan because I agree with him. It's a resolution that a name was brought forth. Anybody else can do it. I didn't see my name out there, but that's okay. We can argue who's worth it and who's not, but this was something that came forth, and based on the facts and based on the history, what little I do know about this gentleman, other buildings in this county and roadways have been named after people. I think we even have one after that REO Speedwagon.
Honorary Street.
All right, anybody else want to speak a first time before I go back to Mr. Alex? Mr. Alex.
With respect to the opinions that were stated about process, I definitely concur with what Mr. Betts says to the extent that I think it would be appropriate if there were a, you know, sort of defined federal process more affirmative than whatever the senior senator feels like doing, but my understanding is that has been the process in the past. And that being said, I think in this case, I would hate to see the perfect be the enemy of the good. I think we've identified a individual with a salutary career and a commendable record, and I think it is entirely appropriate that Champaign County should advance his name to Senator Durbin's office and allow the senator, as Mr. McGinnis said, to be the arbiter of who the building should be named after.
Right, are we ready to vote? And I'll exercise the privilege of the chair and make a roll call vote.
Anderson?
Yes.
Denzel? Yes. Berkson?
No.
Betts?
No.
Carter? Carter?
We're voting on the resolution to support naming the courthouse after James R. Burgess, Jr.
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
Esri?
Yes.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Langenheim?
I believe that was a no by Mr. Langenheim. Okay.
Maxwell?
Yes.
McGinty?
Yes.
Michaels?
No.
Mosier?
Yes.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
No.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes. Motion passed.
And I voted yes as well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wasn't called.
You're at the top of the list, sorry.
Mr. Carter?
Yes. This might not be exactly in order, but why do we do this? Something this in Florida, why was it just brought up tonight instead of giving people credit to have some input and be corrected in what they've done? That's what bothers me about this board anymore.
All right, Mr. Carter, I note your concern there.
It's a very important... oh, man, I can't understand it.
And this is our forum for discussing questions that are brought to the committee.
The night and digest something like this and just getting hands on it when you get to the meeting, you know.
All right, your concern is noted.
That's the reason I say we should go back to committee forum. We're just not getting it. We're not getting it.
All right. Now moving on to our next item. I'm going to suggest that we put these appointments for water districts together, the first two appointments.
For the Sangamon Valley Water District, Frank Howard for an unexpired term ending May 31st, 2015. For the Dewey Community Public Water District, Jason Zahn for an unexpired term ending May 31st, 2016.
Yes.
All right.
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Alex. Any discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign? Motion carried. Mr. Weibel for the Public Aid Appeals Committee.
I nominate Bernie Magnuson and Pamela Borowski for the term December 1st, 2011 to November 30th, 2013. That's so
moved. Second by Mr. Moser. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Nursing Home Board.
I nominate three candidates for three openings. Peter Strzelski, Catherine Manuel, and LaShonda Hambrick. Terms from December 1st, 2011 to November 30th, 2013. And I so move.
Second by Mr. Betts. I'll note that the information for LaShonda Hambrick is in the addendum. Any questions or concerns? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passed. And I also entertain putting the Senior Services Advisory Board nominations together. Mr. Weibel.
Three applicants, Cynthia D. Bell, Jimmy Kaiser, and Jane Nathan for terms from December 1st, 2011 to November 30th, 2013. And Sherry Gordon and Hal Lobick, term from December 1st, 2011 to November 30th, 2014.
Second by Stephanie Holderfield. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay. Anything of note on the vacation or the vacant position listings? Any questions about the recommendation for the county board calendar for 2012? Entertain a motion on that.
So
moved by Mr. Alex, seconded by Geraldo. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Likewise for the 2012 holiday calendar. That's informational. Okay. All right. Now we have a recommendation for amendment to the personnel policy. Entertain a motion. Moved by Mr. Moser.
Second.
Second by Mr. Rosales. Discussion. Do you have anything else to do on that, Deb?
It's a very simple amendment. It's simply changing the statement of applicability to indicate that the policy does not pertain to the appointed officials who are the members of the Board of Review.
All right, seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
passed. And now, recommendation to amendment of the purchasing policy. Entertain a motion.
So moved.
Mr. Esri, seconded by Dan James. Any discussion or anything you want to say, Deb, before we discuss this?
I think it's pretty well spelled out in the memorandum, which was in your packet. There is a new copy of the actual policy itself, because it came to my attention that what was highlighted in blue really looked like it was redacted. So the blue is now text rather than highlighted. So those are the phase three changes, and the second phase are in green, and the first are in yellow. I would just point out to you that it seemed appropriate if we were bringing any change, if I was bringing any changes, recommendations to the purchasing policy to you, that I should bring everything that I think it is appropriate for you to consider. And as I've said in my memo, what prompted this is the change with regard to not having a buyer anymore and changing, you know, centralized stores inventory. So however you want to approve these is at your discretion.
All right, Patsy.
Well, I'd like to offer an amendment. Page 118, 1, under D and E. D reads, all meetings and discussions of the award of a bid be open to the public and welcome to the public's participation. And what I'd like to add is an E, and then move E to an F. And that any conversations had with any of the bidders outside of the open process be posted on the county website.
Do I have a second to that amendment? Okay. Discussion on the amendment.
I'm trying to figure exactly what the amendment is. I'm having a real hard time.
Patsy, could you explain a little bit more?
Yes. It's a pattern to bid after Senate Bill 51, and where this applies only to the state, but I do think it's a good context in that bill that might be good for the county, and that any conversations that are had by any of the decision makers in relationship to a potential bid, if this happens outside of the open process for whatever reason, that needs to be posted on the county website so that still becomes all part of the open process.
All right, Tom. Yes.
So don't get we're going to post the fact. So Brendan and I are having a conversation. While I'm at Lincoln Square Mall walking, and I said, God, I hope so-and-so gets to bid.
I'm not referring between two of you, between those who are bidding.
With a bidder? You're talking about a conversation that you had with one of the bidders?
Yes.
And give me a context.
Might be that individual calls you at your office and asks some questions about process or criteria or any of those things, and that then needs to be posted on the website so that everybody knows that conversation ensued.
You want the may I proceed? Do you want the content of the conversation or the fact that there was contact?
I think the important thing that there was contact.
Pius.
Well, that also includes emails. I'm concerned that means every email that I get from people wishing to do business with the county, I'd have to somehow report, which I think would be a pain in the butt.
You could always FOIA that, can't you?
Brendan, then Ralph.
I'm not going to support this. Muddies the process. It happens in negotiations. What happens outside of negotiations, I understand open meetings, and we have to be good enough to abide by open meetings, but come on.
Ralph, microphone, please.
I
think we're pursuing an unattainable ideal. Before long, you're going to have to report on conversations with your wife.
All right, Horalo, please repeat what you said.
No, my comment was that we could always FOIA Pius's or any of the board members' files. We're all public records, so at any one time, I believe any one citizen could FOIA any communications that we have received pertaining to any of that.
All right, I'm going to let Mr. Alex go next.
I guess I can't support this in the form in which it was stated because I share some of Mr. Betts' concerns that it seems a bit vague. I will say, though, I mean, if there is specific language in the state's revised purchasing policy, which you think would be beneficial, I would suggest that you bring that in the future as a specific amendment so that we can look at it in greater detail, but I'm not comfortable making a change on the fly.
All right, Pius.
I think also, if we'd have followed rules in the letter, I couldn't even delete those emails. I'll report the emails. If I delete them, I self-report them.
Okay, Tom.
And this is my second time up, so if someone else is... I think I understand the gist of what Pat is doing. I even have some sympathy for the position. I will tell you, as a person who works with the University of Illinois and has folks regularly contacting my office by email and in person to try to sell legal materials, development materials, assessment materials, what have you, we literally have to we block it. Because the time that it takes literally to fill out all of the reports ends all of our time. We won't let a salesperson darken the door of the office. It becomes that difficult, and that's what I'm afraid of here, is that we lead to a situation where I see Tommy Burns at the mall and say, hey, Tom, how you doing, blah, 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 and he happens to have a bid or an RFQ for the county, and that means that conversation, which had really nothing to do with that bid, has to be reported.
I didn't get here. I was out when she stated a resolution, but I believe there are already statutes that have to do with the amount of information that we can give out. Have a bid process. I believe there's already a statute in the books that it's either a misdemeanor or maybe a felony that you cannot give information to a bidder that puts another bidder at a disadvantage. In other words, you being a public official can't give that out. And I was always, as a county official, I was always quite concerned about that statute.
Right. Mr. Alex?
I apologize if this is very slightly off topic, but if you do want to bring, or if another member wants to bring a proposal forward in the future to deal with this issue, one way in which I've seen this dealt with in other organizations is through pre-bid conference, where essentially the vendors are allowed to come to a single pre-bid conference. Questions are answered there, and then essentially any contact is forbidden between the staff and the vendors other than at that pre-bid conference. I'll just throw that out there as something that could be considered, although I'm not necessarily indicating I'd support it.
Well, and if I may, that is a concept that we use in many of the RFPs depending on what it is that's being purchased. But if, for example, we're looking at a bid for an RFP for the courthouse sound system and video arraignment system as you have authorized us to move forward with, well, that RFP will include a pre-bid conference, and it includes follow-up, where if any vendor provides questions, we document those questions for all of the vendors and provide to all of the vendors an addendum, which is posted on our website, documenting the answers to those questions. So it is not a record of every verbal conversation or posting every email, but I certainly think we are addressing the issues that would be, you know, taken in by a conversation by the way we manage the RFP process.
All right, Patsy.
Okay, I will withdraw my amendment
and I'll come back at a later time with some other format for this, and thank you.
Okay. So returning to discussion on the main motion. Lloyd.
But don't you all think this should be considered a study session, something this important? I just can't see we keep hooked. You know, my goodness. This is a very important document that we turn, and what procedure we've been taking in this.
Well, I can suggest to Ms. Ammons, that is the chair of the policy committee, if she feels like it needs a study session, she can bring it to this body for a study session.
Because the state has regulations, too, that you should be putting into these documents that you're supposed to go by.
Well, we do have to follow our own purchasing.
This has been reviewed by legal, too.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we consider that. Instead of just grandchildren and all through and not getting it over.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
And then the last thing on the agenda under Administrator's Report is the Fiscal 2012 Property Liability Workers Compensation Insurance Renewals.
All right. I entertain a motion for approval. Stephanie, seconded by Ralph. Any discussion? Mr. Alex.
Like the county administrator to speak to the increases, and do you feel these are indicative of a increasing loss ratio, or are we simply getting held up here?
Actually, our broker is here and could probably speak more specifically with regard to the increases, but I can tell you that these increases were completely in line with what our expectations were and our fiscal 2012 budget numbers, which we put together in August before we had this information, do cover the increases that are being presented here this evening.
If our broker has in fact come, it would be terrific to hear from him.
Our broker is Molly Rawlings from Diamond Brothers Insurance.
The increases, the majority of the increases are coming in the law enforcement liability, and that is actually due to not so much your account, but there have been quite a few losses sustained statewide, so the rates have increased in that sector. The property went up a little bit due to some of the losses that have been incurred over the last 3 years. However, that was kept very much in line. We initially came in at just under a 5% increase, which is what we discussed in budgeting. However, in reviewing the account, we also looked at the liability limits that the county carries, and I made the recommendation based on other counties in the area. You guys were carrying pretty low limits, so I did recommend that we increase the umbrella so you have $10 million in coverage versus $6 million the past few years. So that's where a large part of the increase is coming into.
Thank you. And between the two of you, can you remind me, how does our property coverage work? And I know that we have a very high deductible there. Is that correct?
We have a $5,000 deductible actually on the property. We have a large deductible on the liability side.
What? Does that cover vehicles? Does property cover vehicles?
There is physical damage on all vehicles over $100,000 with a $25,000 deductible.
That's the deductible I guess I was thinking of. When we had the truck catch fire, right? Mm-hmm. That was on the county, right? Not, that insurance
yes.
didn't cover that. Right?
It did not, but Cincinnati is assisting the state's attorney with subrogation recommendations in that area. Even though they didn't cover it, since they covered the building, they are helping with that process as well.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, any further questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Now we are at D1, recommendations for semi-annual review of closed session minutes. Pius, you want to speak to that?
I want to make a motion.
Okay.
I move the adoption of a procedural policy for the semi-annual review of closed session minutes. It's a procedure consisting of, one, categorization of closed session minutes by our legal counsel into the eight areas as listed on page 144 of the agenda. Two, when closed session minutes reach the end of each time period per area, the county board shall examine these notes and decide to open them or to keep them closed. Three, closed session minutes which have not reached the end of each time period per area will not be examined and will remain closed. And also me.
Second by Mr. Moser. Yep. Mr. Alex is pointing out I skipped something, but we'll come back to it since we're already embroiled in a motion. Any discussion on this recommendation? Patsy.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Weibel why labor negotiation 100 years.
Well, it was a compromise. I believe you recommended 5 or 10. Mr. Brett said forever, and Mr. Lagenheim said, well, how about 100 years? So I went with the median.
Swangenheim. Microphone, please.
It was sort of a compromise. The question is, how long can those records sit? How long do they have to sit to become innocuous? That is, are they likely to be involved in current activities at the time that they're released? I think 100 years is probably a little bit high, but forever is unacceptable from the point of view of maintaining a historical record.
I think it's a little bit optimistic, too, to say we'll have them for 100 years. Mr. Alex.
I just want to make sure we had a chance to hear from Mr. Betts, who made the most useful comments on this the last time around, I think.
Mr. Betts.
I was going to make it into an amendment that life and being until such time as all of the current members of the labor committee die. But I'm not going to do that. My concern about opening up labor, and it will always be up the board, even if you pass this resolution, will ultimately always be up the board whether or not to open up any of these committee and closed session meetings. I think labor does present some unique issues because in your labor committee, you are discussing not just how much you're offering and what have you in authority, but strategic issues. And you can learn a great deal if you are on the other side about how a committee views strategy. And from that, you learn how to negotiate more effectively against management in that situation. We don't have the same opportunity as management to say, well, we would like to attend the strategy sessions of the people who are bargaining on behalf of APSME or any other group. That is my main concern, is I think it does reveal strategy. Do I think 100 years is an arbitrary, capricious thing of life and being? I don't know what you do, but I think we should be very cautious about opening up minutes that reveal strategy in terms of negotiations. You can, if you're going to do that, I think it poses some risks. I certainly would, if I were on the other side, absolutely. If you start opening up everything from 10 years ago, I'd give every one of those sessions and start looking at it. Because certain commonalities, one, some of us have been on that committee for that long. There's certain commonalities, and you can learn a lot.
Mr. Alex.
If I could follow up, Tom, I assume you're saying that 100 years isn't giving away the store? Okay, thank you.
All right, then let's vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Great. Okay, backing up to the section C1 that I skipped, you have the monthly fee report from the county clerk. I'd entertain a motion to accept and place on file. Mr. Langenheim.
Second.
Second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. And now we are on the addendum, item B3. Okay, we are now considering the approval of an agreement for the provision and administration of METCAD by and between the City of Champaign, City of Urbana, Champaign County, and the University of Illinois.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Alex, seconded by Mr. James. Discussion? Mr. Weibel, can you speak to the origins of this agreement?
Well, it's Deb, I can do a little more of it. I was involved in part of it. It's basically a modified version of what we had in the past. I worked with the language of including the designation of positions of the county representatives. Deb, are there any other major changes?
The last time this intergovernmental agreement was approved was in 1996, and the changes have to do with the need to further define how members are appointed, and what really led to it is how an appointed member designates an alternate in their absence, because there was a problem with quorums at critical votes. So that's what prompted the changes to be done. The primary change for the county is that we now acknowledge that the sheriff is a party to this agreement. Previously, the county board was the only party to the agreement, but the sheriff, as a countywide elected official, should be a party and is now. And that's, you know, basically, it has also been reviewed by legal counsel of all involved entities, and all legal counsel have passed on it. So, yeah.
All right. Any questions? Any discussion? Mr. Jay.
Is the sheriff our only party to this, our representative on this board?
The county board determines who the designee is, who's called the administrative designee, who votes on the budget, and the county board chair makes that appointment, and the county administrator has held that appointment
for a long time.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Deb, could you help me out with the consent list?
Yes. I think it's all of the appointments. All of the appointments and items B2, 4, 5, and 6, and D1 and D3.
Okay. That is all from policy.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Other business, I seek approval of the County Administrative Salary Negotiation Committee closed session minutes for October 17, 2011. Moved by Mr. Rosales, second by
Brad,
according to Mr. James.
Hard to see us back here.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.